But this week, we are in the book of Acts. We are following Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke for a little season. Now we're going to see that Luke has actually we talked about how Luke was actually writing in last week, and actually how he joined in with Paul for a season. He is no longer traveling with them. You're going to see him going back to they, and we think that maybe he has stopped in Philippi and is actually helping the church there in Philippi. And so you have the travel, the second missionary journey of Timothy and Silas and, of course, Paul. And what we're going to be talking about this morning, the book of Acts, we can pull out. We know we've talked about decision-making, and we've talked about God's will, and we've talked about a number of topics. But you can't get away, and we don't want to get away, from this whole concept of the need for us to continue what Jesus started. And a huge part of that is for us to be personally and as a church reaching out to others with the good news, the message of Jesus Christ. And the great news is one size does not fit all. Let me say that one more time to really encourage you. One size does not fit all. And you have different personalities, you have different gifting, you have different walks of life. God can use it all, okay? So maybe you have a family where most everybody knows the Lord Jesus. And then some of you have a family where none or very few know the Lord Jesus. And you say, man, I don't have to look for it. I just look at my own family and I know that there's people who need Jesus. And so we're going to be talking about us actually having outward expressions of our faith, telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to do it with six C's for outreach and evangelism this morning, six C's. And so we're going to launch into our first C, which is this, continuation. And we see that Luke is saying now when they, last chapter he was saying we, now he's saying they. And so likely he has stopped in Philippi and is ministering there. There was a church that was started, some great things going on. Maybe Luke, we would surmise, had stopped there. But now when they had traveled through Amphipolis and Apollonia, and they came to Thessalonica. Now you can get kind of lost in this. And so what I want to do is just take you for an aerial view of all that God has accomplished so far in the book of Acts. I don't know how many of you have, you know, you've heard me refer to it time and time again, Acts 1:8. How many of you know it or have memorized it? But Jesus, right before his ascension, gives them the Great Commission, not the Great Commission, but a commission. The Great Commission is Matthew 28:19-20, but he gives them a commission. But you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So he didn't leave them as orphans or saying, you know, slug it out for yourselves, you know, do outreach and pull yourself up by your bootstraps, by saying, I'm going to give you this to do, but I'm going to give you the power to do it. Isn't that just so much like Jesus? I'm going to give you this to do, but I'm going to give you instructions, I'm going to give you power to do it so that you're not going to be alone in doing this, reaching the world. And then he talks about different regions. He talks about Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. And so, where did this start? Where are they now? Well, we just read it there in Thessalonica. Where did this start? Right here in Jerusalem. And so Jesus said you would reach Jerusalem, and this is kind of a blown up map of it, Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost parts. And if you were to try to say, okay, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, I could barely even point to it on my with my laser pointer, the Judea and Samaria and Jerusalem regions. Now look at how far the church has gone and how far it has grown. And we need to pull back and say, you know, I get great encouragement from that. You know, Jesus said he was going to do something, and wow, he did it. This is amazing how far the gospel has traveled so far. And with the book of Acts, it is a matter of, we ain't done yet. It's going to go even further. Second, custom. Now you're going to say, what in the world about custom? It says, and according to Paul's custom. Now what was his custom? It was, they went to Thessalonica where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And according to Paul's custom, he went to them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures. What was Paul's custom? Paul's custom was to go into a city and to go into something very familiar with himself and something very familiar, he would be very familiar to the people in the synagogues because he was a Jew. And so it was his custom to go into the synagogues. What's your custom? You have customs in your life. We talked about one of them is just you naturally rub shoulders with your family. You have customs in your life. You go to maybe the same hairstylist time after time. And there's an opportunity there for you as you have this custom, this repeated habit, this repeated walk of life, there's an outreach opportunity with this person that clips your hair or curls it or whatever they do to hair these days. You know, mine's pretty basic, but you know, I know they can do also, I watch the other, especially the ladies in the chair, and they do some foil things and everything else under the sun with them. Takes some time, and you notice that the hairstylist is in conversation a lot of times with that person. And so according to your custom, your habit, your regular walk of life, there is an opportunity to introduce the message of just even your personal testimony or how you've depended on the Lord into that conversation. The same restaurant you go to, maybe the same diner, the same waitress you see, that can be your custom, regular walk of life that you can impact others. Your neighbor, vendors or contractors that you work with on your job. Those are all parts of the regular walk of life that is an opportunity for you to reach out. I can remember, now I don't do it anymore, and I've talked to you many times about, you know, maybe I needed some help somewhere along the way with my obsessions, but I became obsessed with motorcycles. And then I went into buying and selling motorcycles actually for a side business and for a little profit. And that was a regular walk of my life. That was a regular part of my life. And I can remember there was a guy named Mason who was a young man who was a Jew who was, you know, of the Jewish faith, Jewish background, Jewish family. And he was interested in one of the motorcycles that I was selling. Regular walk of my life, regular part of my life. I didn't have to go anywhere different than my regular walk of life. And I said to him, I said, let's go riding together. And so with this motorcycle that he was going to buy from me, and I grabbed another motorcycle, we went up and did dirt bike riding, which is you do, it's not like riding on the road, it's off-road riding and everything. And on the way up, I got to talk with Mason about Jesus the Messiah, about Jesus the Savior, the whole way up. And so there, just with a normal walk of my life, a normal interest of my life, it's interesting that the Great Commission is as you are going. The original language is as you are going. And so, you know, there's a lot of intentionality with outreach, but there's also just a normal walk of life, normal places that you frequent that are opportunities to reach others for Christ. The third C is conversation. And it says, according to Paul's custom, he went to them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures. The Greek word for reason there that I have highlighted is actually where we get the word dialogue. He dialogued with them. And I think so many times that is actually an encouragement and a relief for us where we say, you mean I don't have to seal the deal every time I'm with somebody? And you mean I can actually enter into discussions with people about life and about my beliefs and about their beliefs, and I don't have to seal the deal every time? That's right. And so we can reason or we can dialogue with people. And so I've used this model before. Sorry, my graphics ability is not the best. But here is three parts that you can have to your life for reaching others for Christ. Get into relationship. Did you know that 3 years after someone trusts Christ, they're almost at zero with the number of people, unbelievers that they are associated with anymore? 3 years. It's like a downward spiral. It's a downward slope. So get into relationships, enhance relationships with those who do not know Christ. Look for those opportunities to get into relationship. Take the message into the relationship. And so that's where we can be doing the Lord's will, the Great Commission, simply by getting into discussion with those who do not know Christ. And so, who are you? Who are they? Well, maybe they are people who parent in a certain way, and they have two dogs and three cats, and they don't believe in this sort of purchase of cars. You know, I only buy this type of car. And they have a certain sports team, and they have a certain political view. And they have brought into a genuine relationship, they have brought who they are into that relationship. Well, guess what, believer? You bring who you are into that relationship and enter into conversation with them. And so you say, you know, if I'm going to be in a relationship with you and we're going to have a genuine friendship, you are who you are, I'm going to be who I am. And I'm going to bring in things about the Lord into our friendship, into our genuine relationship. And then you can pray for crossroads opportunities where there is just the Holy Spirit opens up the conversation to present the gospel, or there's been some sort of hardship in their life where they... like with Julie's uncle, some sort of hardship that causes their eyes to be open to spiritual things, and there's an opportunity for them to come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to present the gospel. When they go through a hardship, who are they going to go to? Many times they're going to go to the person that they're already in relationship with. And so I'm going through this divorce, I'm going through this issue with housing, I'm going through this issue with finances, going through this issue with my job. I want to go to the person that I'm already in relationship with. And that can be you, if you would take the time and get into relationship with those who do not know Christ. So that is the conversation. Four, conversions. And many times we can go through the routine of life, and we can go through even the Christian life, and we can lose sight that God is at work greatly. And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas. I keep wanting to, even at home, I would keep saying Cyrus. Silas, along with a large number of God-fearing Greeks and a number of the leading women. You know what that tells me? God's at work. God is at work, and it's not just going through the motions of the Christian life, and it's not just going through the motions of getting into relationship, taking the message into the relationship, praying for crossroad opportunities, but those things happen that people can and will trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't lose sight. Listen, don't lose sight that God can use you, yes, you, to bring someone to Christ. Not me. Oh, yeah. God can use you, yes, you, to lead someone to Christ. Did you know that there are tens of thousands of people who come to Christ in the world every day? Tens of thousands who come to Christ every day. So don't lose sight that there are conversions of people going from one frame of mind into another, from being spiritually dead to being spiritually alive, converging. You know, that can kind of become like a catchphrase that doesn't mean anything. But if you think about the conversions of people being against Christ and then changing into those who are for Christ and seek to lean on Christ. And so don't lose sight of you, yes, you, can lead someone to Christ. The fifth C is this, conflict. Ever experience conflict in your faith, in presenting your faith, of representing your faith? It says, look, and, so you have this great and word, and we've talked about this before, but you have this great and word. Some of them were persuaded and joined Paul. And then here comes verse 5. But the Jews, becoming jealous and taking along some wicked men from the marketplace, formed a mob and set the city in an uproar, and attacking the house of Jason, they were seeking to bring them out to the people. And so you represent Christ, and it is really basically guaranteed that you're going to face conflict in your life because of your lifestyle, because of the message that you proclaim, because of the one that you represent. And it says in verse 6, this is so interesting, and I think it says it well in the King James Version. So if you don't know King James, it tends to be the King's English kind of thing, and it tends to use hitherto and forthwith and everything. But I think it's a key word that the accusation against against Timothy, against Silas, against Paul, was that when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, those that have turned the world upside down also have come here. And so there's conflict. They're not saying that, they are Christians. They are Christians. And that was a term used of them in Antioch. But the accusation against them was, they've done something here. They've turned the world upside down. And so we get conflict in our lives. And then just follow this story through. And Jason has welcomed them. So they accused, they said, here is Timothy, here's Silas, here's Paul. They've turned this world upside down. They're setting the city in an uproar. And Jason, this guy, he was the only one they could lay their hands on, has welcomed them. And they all act contrary to the decrees of Caesar. And so they're using exaggerations and lies now in order to elevate this so that the government would be interested in it. Because this private faith, this Jesus, there's a lot of gods, you're going to see in the city of Athens, they had 30,000 idols. And so, even though we're not there yet, there was a lot of gods around. And so what they did was they exaggerated and they lied and they took it up and they elevated it so that the Roman government would have an interest in what they were doing. And so they're saying they're acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus. And so they exaggerated and they lied in a sense because they were not saying that Jesus was king, spiritual king. They're saying that they have set up a physical king who is in opposition to Caesar. And they stirred up the crowd and the city authorities who heard these things. And when they had received the pledge from Jason, they said, we want some money and we want some promises that you're not going to do this again. And others, and they released them. And so there's conflict. In your walks of life, you're going to experience this. You talk about your family style. You talk about the type of car that you drive. You talk about your job. Many things are benign with people. But Scripture says that when we say Jesus, when we preach Jesus in authentic faith, what is it? But we preach Jesus crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. And so the name of Christ, the message of Christ, is something that is just an offense. It's almost supernaturally an offense to people who do not know Christ. And then you have the message of Christ. There's the absolute of Christ, that he is the way, with a capital T. You have the exclusivity of Christ. He is the only way. And then you have the personalization of Christ, where you are talking with someone, and the message is, you need Christ. It's not just my thing, you need Christ. And so there's the absolute, there's the exclusivity of Christ, and then there's the personalization of Christ, that you need the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's an offense to those who do not know Christ. Last one is this, the last C is this, courage. John MacArthur said this, but he said, it is impossible to reach people for Christ without courage. You cannot reach people for Christ without courage. Why? Because there's conflict in it. And so you can think of it as stretching a rubber band, okay? And so you have here is present state, and you're pulling the rubber band up, and you are actually living for Christ and actually representing his message. And what's this causing? Tension. And here is what happens. Well, if I just kind of compromise, I don't have as much tension. If I don't speak the name of Christ, I don't have as much tension. Hey, I kind of like this. And what we can do is begin to live a watered-down life, and we actually avoid that tension by reducing the message. With all that resistance, how could Paul and Silas continue on? And then there was the breaking apart of Paul and Silas for a little season, and Timothy, and then they would rejoin together. But I put those two together. And it's so they enter the synagogue in the beginning of chapter 17. What happens? Conflict. And so what do? Hey, while we're in Berea, let's go into the synagogue. You talk about some serious courage. And then there is, you know, this happens in the synagogue. And then what happens in Athens? Hey, let's go into the synagogue. And you think that they would have learned to say, you know, this is causing too much tension. Let's not go into the synagogue. But they had the courage, and it was repeated behavior where they continued to go into the synagogue. And so for you, it's always something, you know, I don't know about you, but I could use having this message preached to me every week, every day, because there is this tendency for us to lose sight of the commission, the mission that Jesus has given to us. And so here it is, the six C's, continuation. That God is doing a great work, and if we pull back, he is spreading the gospel in amazing ways, even up to today's. Custom. In your everyday normal walks of life, who are the people that you come across? And in your custom, as the custom was for Paul to go into the synagogue, what is your custom and opportunities to reach people for Christ? The gospel can be a conversation, dialogue, where you don't always have to just seal the deal with somebody. Oh, in this conversation, if I don't have them, you know, go on their knees and pray the prayer, I failed. But it's an ongoing relationship and ongoing conversation with people, introducing spiritual matters into conversations with those you are in relationship with. Conversions, people, many, changing from one thing into another. Conflict, representing Christ, does cause conflict in our lives. And it takes courage to live your life for Christ and to speak forth the message of Christ. You know, we're going to go to a memorial service today. And the first thing on my mind is how can we represent Christ there? Now, there's been some limitations set on it. As far as not wanting a religious service, this was the request. And so, but what is the inroads? It's the first thing on my mind. There was a, and I'll tell you this full story sometime. There was a young boy, 5 years old, who died of a brain tumor. And I was asked to do the funeral for him. The first thing on my mind was what? I have an opportunity to present the gospel to him. My neighbor died and then was brought back to life. What's on my mind? He needs to know Jesus. He needs to know Jesus. And as we go throughout life, we need to have that mentality, that outreach, lifestyle, and mentality of saying, you know what? This is something I need to verbalize. People are dying without Christ, and it is a horrible thing to experience. And so that outward look on life saying, if Jesus said it, I need to do it. And I'm going to pray and seek for opportunities to share my faith, continuing what Jesus started. Let's close in prayer. Father, we take seriously your mission that you have given to us. I pray that we each would personalize it, not be just ones who look objectively at Scripture and say, I'm reading a story, I'm observing what's going on, they did this, they did that, but for us to say, wait a second, this is for me to do this, for me to do that. And I just pray in our own big and little ways, Father, that you'd use us greatly in the lives of others for them to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we would get into relationship, that we would take the message of Christ into that relationship, and that we would pray for crossroad opportunities and take hold of crossroad opportunities to present the good news of Jesus. Thank you that we have even a message to proclaim, that we have experienced the saving grace through Jesus Christ, and now we can proclaim it to others. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.